All right, you guys, I've made no mystery of the fact that I love Christmas. I'm delighted by it. I enjoy it. Everything Christmas is the best. If you are already tired of Christmas music for the season, you are wrong. You're just incorrect. We are not done yet with Christmas music. Isn't Joy to the World just one of the best songs? Did you sing all those verses? I love getting to sing all four of them, and just the excellent proclamation of theology that's there about who Jesus Christ is and what he's done is a delight to get to sing with the congregation, and I enjoy it so much. And so along with a joy of Christmas and along with enjoying all things Christmas, today we are going to look at the Christmas passage. We will be in Luke chapter 2. If you would like to open up a pew Bible along with me, that is page 832. Luke chapter 2, I'm reading out of the Pew Bibles on page 832. This passage, I hope you know well. I hope it's read in your homes at Christmas. If it's not, do it. I was at one of our Sunday school parties just yesterday, and this passage was read there, and it's always a delight to hear it. So important is this passage. Frequently, at Christmas, we can feel pressure to kind of spice it up a little bit, do something different from last year, change things up a little bit, or find a new spin on an old passage from Scripture. That's not what we're going to do today. We're going to look at the same passage of Scripture that we've looked at Christmases before, but we are going to look at it with new marvel. We are going to look at it, us old hearts, some of us, old Scripture that we have here, but we're going to look at it fresh with rejoicing today, because the message hasn't needed to change or be jazzed up in any way. The message is still a delight, and the message is that Jesus Christ is Lord. So let's look in Scripture today in Luke chapter 2, and we will read beginning in verse 4 today. Let's pray and read Scripture. Father God, it is a delight to worship you, and it is a joy to get to gather with the congregation. Father God, I pray that now the reading of your word and the hearing of your word would be worship to you. Amen. Father God, put your spirit on us to teach us something new today. Amen. This I pray in your name. Amen. Amen. Luke chapter 2, verse 4. Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. And he went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloths, and she placed him in the manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the flocks nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. The angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and had gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Well, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about the child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd had said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. This is the word of the Lord today. Good news, everybody. Good news to you today that a Savior was born to us, and he is the Messiah, the Lord. That is the center of this passage. That is the center of the Bible. Don't try to count pages. It's not, you know, particularly. But everything before it leads up to this moment. Everything after points back to this moment. All of history from when The entire world, the universe, and everything in it was created by Christ, for Christ, through Christ, as John chapter 1 proclaims, to when Christ returns. The center of everything is Christ coming, is our Lord who created everything, taking on flesh and being born in a manger. And this is our great joy. And let's look, where does this start? Who is proclaiming this gospel message? Who's the first person that proclaims excitement about the birth of the Lord? It's the angels. It's not just an angel. There is an angel who shares the message specifically, but then along with this single angel, an entire heavenly host, a huge choir appears all around the sky, all proclaiming together, glory to God. As we have been doing, we'll continue to do. We've been looking through these songs of Christmas. We looked first in chapter 1 at Mary's song, then we looked at Zechariah's song, and today as we look at the angel's song, we hear that the song they sing at the birth of Christ is this: glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom His favor rests. They say, glory to God, and peace on everyone with whom His favor rests. You understand that this, what is happening, is not just the center of our history and our world, it's the center of everything. This is what all of the spiritual beings, everything that's going on that we don't see or know about, that's kind of past our pay grade and our understanding, all these spiritual beings, all these angels of heaven that are God's servants arrive to shout with joy and excitement that Christ has been born. And their shout is, glory to God. Look at who is proclaiming this. It is all of the angels of heaven. The entire heavenly host proclaims the joy that Jesus Christ is born. But look next to who they proclaim it to. I mean, come on, if you didn't know the story, who do you think they're going to proclaim it to? They proclaim the gospel to some shepherds, some guys who are out on night shift nearby, working in the fields. Do any of you work night shift at your work? Imagine the proclamation of heaven, the skies open to you one night just to announce the glory and the work that God is doing. What great joy this is. What wonder it is that God would announce this to shepherds nonetheless. These guys are not the guys who own the sheep. These guys are the guys who watch the sheep at night. The guy who owns the sheep is not there in the middle of the night because he owns a lot of sheep, so he can afford to sleep. These guys are the workers and the hired hands out in the field. You know what? You know what I like about Aiken? We've just been here, as you know, my family and I. We've been here for coming up on 5 months now. We're not even half a year yet. We've been here in Aiken, and there's a lot to love about it. I love getting to live here. But one of my favorite things about Aiken is, in this area, I mean, just within 10 miles of us here, you kind of got everybody. I mean, literally everybody. You got folks all up and down the socioeconomic ladder. You've got very wealthy people. And then you've got just stupid rich people. I mean, you've got, and then every little grade, am I wrong? There's every different grade on down, all the way to the lowliest. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if there was somebody whose primary job here today was herdsman, was shepherd, was watching over crops. We've literally got them all, everybody living all here close together, all up and down the range. It's incredible. And so if you're new to Talitha Baptist Church, when you come here, you realize we've got them all as well. As we gather here today for church, we have people from all kinds of backgrounds who are into all sorts of different cultures and trends and things. God continues to gather us. It's wonderful to see from all over the world, from all over the country, we gather together today with the one thing in common, that we proclaim Jesus Christ as our Lord. Amen. It's incredible the kind of people that God brings to Him, the kind of people that God announces to joyously that Christ has come. And He starts off with these shepherds. I had some lunch this week with a particular air conditioning company, the entire company. Changed the names so as to protect the innocent here. But essentially, they came to look at some AC units up here, and I said, let's eat some lunch. I said, hey, I know this Mexican food place. It's a grocery store Mexican food place here in town, and I love it. And they say, well, let us take you to our Mexican food place. So we go and we get some Mexican food, and it is incredible. If you need to know, write something on your guest card. I'll call you this week and let you in on the secret about where this place is. It's delicious. Well, I'm getting some lunch with these AC guys. Some who are here at the church, some who are members, and some who are very much not members here at this church. And one of them, not a member here, just one of the youngest guys on the crew. I mean, he looked 19, 20 years old, was there along with us and eating, and he's just a, God bless him, this kid. He's just a good old boy. He's a redneck as much as they come. I'm there along with that. I mean, I'm kind of one. I'm a little crazy. If you've eaten with me, you know, I'm happy to eat anything. I like everything. It doesn't matter. I have very few boundaries on what I'm willing to eat. I like to try everything. Vietnamese food, I'm in. Indian food, I'm in. I love it. Sushi, I'll eat that, you know, right here. That's what I want for lunch today. I mean, anything and everything. I like about, there's very few things on my no-fly list for food. If you're curious, it really only includes snow peas. Green peas, can't stand them. I don't like the texture. I had a texture problem. Not good, not good fare. But I mean, almost anything else, I am happy to eat and I enjoy eating. I think it's part of what God created us to do in Genesis when he told us to be fruitful, multiply, and subdue the earth and fill the earth with God's glory, is to just eat up the entire earth for God's glory and try it all. Can I get a witness on that one? Anybody else with me? All right. I like it all. I'm sitting with these guys talking, and this young man was looking around at some of the grocery store fare for bait. He was looking for some things that he could use in raccoon traps. I say that wrong. He was looking for things he could use in coon traps, as he calls them, and only refers to them. It's what the critter is called now. And he was doing this, not necessarily because he eats them. He catches them at people's land who just want to get rid of them off their land, and then He was telling me how he can sell these things, how people will buy coons to eat. They'll buy them for eating, that they'll eat that sort of thing. And suddenly, along with snow peas, there was another thing on my no-fly list for eating. Mm-mm. I said, listen, man, there are some things that are not acceptable. They're not fit for eating. And I'll eat some weird stuff, but I've had rattlesnake, but I'm not doing raccoon. That's not a thing. That's just not going to happen. And this young man, he told me, well, he also has a no-fly list on eating, and it's possum. That's where he draws the line. He won't eat that. And I said, well, obviously, who would? And my whole philosophy about eating everything was just brought to a halt there when I heard what he was willing to eat. But look at who the angels proclaimed to. Shepherds. What a joy it was to sit and eat with this young man and talk to him about salvation. Because Jesus Christ came in the world for him too. Jesus Christ came into the world for all of us. So whoever you are today, however you were raised, in whatever conditions you were raised in, whatever weird thing you like to eat, Jesus Christ came in the world to save you too. Amen. Such is the love of God. Such is the joy of proclaiming to every person that Jesus Christ is Lord. Such is the joy of getting to be here with Talitha Baptist Church, where you see, we kind of got all sorts. Not very big, didn't take much. We quickly got all sorts and all kinds here, and it's a joy to get to worship with each and every one of you. Now look at what the shepherds do next. They hear from the angels, they are amazed, and they say, well, let's go find him. Let's go see if this is true. And they find Mary and Joseph, and they find Christ our Lord lying in a manger. They find the baby, and they rejoice too. And then what do? They go around telling everyone. They tell everyone. Look at verse 17. When they saw him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about the child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. There's only one right answer to experiencing Christ in our lives. There's only one right answer to hearing that Jesus Christ is the Lord. And that is to go tell everyone you know. Amen. Does the joy of Christ not compel us to let everybody else know, hey, he is our Lord. You can come and worship him. What issue do you have in your life? That too, Christ is good enough for. Christ has died for and forgiven. Come and worship with us. Come and drink a stream of living water, and you will never be thirsty again, Scripture proclaims. I get kind of excited about restaurants when I find them. La Laguna, that's the name of the Mexican food place I ate at. It's excellent. Head on up to Pine Log, turn east. It's just down there past the Waffle House by the subway. Delicious food. And I become a, what'd you say? Yes. Also, no. Past Maria's. You go past Maria's to the place I'm talking about. Maria's is fancy too, but go past Maria's to La Laguna. Oh, I got it right. Don't worry. I know my Mexican food. Be looking for a passionate Yelp review this afternoon because I'm going to write it. I quickly become an evangelist of every place that I love like that and tell people, this is delicious, you need to try it. How much more the Lord? How much more, as Scripture says, as the psalmist says, taste and see that the Lord is good. How much more do we, who have enjoyed the grace of God, how much more are we not compelled to tell everyone else? Look how good it is to serve Him. Look how good it is to worship Him. How much more do we join in with the angels singing, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace on those with whom His favor rests. And as we go about sharing this frequently, it's all right if you get intimidated, by the way. Anybody ever like wanted to share gospel with somebody and not known what to say and kind of stuttered over it, not really knowing what to say, you kind of started moving your hands around to try and talk with them, and it was all, none of it fit together very well. Have you ever not really known what to say, but tried your best when sharing the gospel? I like to tell a story about my little brother. I like to tell a story at his expense, because why not? He's my little brother, about this time. So I was actually his youth pastor at one time. He is 7 years younger than I am. He's much younger. He's a surprise brother, but we really like him. He's a good brother, nonetheless. He has become quite a man of God, but he was a surprise brother, so he was a lot younger, and I was his youth pastor for a little while. And so we were off at a summer camp one summer, and he just fell. I mean, he was just starstruck. He fell for this sweet girl who's working at the camp on the other side of the cafeteria line. This camp had local high school workers working there at it, and he was just smitten with the girl serving the mashed potatoes. And so I was like, Cameron, I'm his brother. I was like, Cameron, be bold, say something. He goes, okay, I'll do it. He's going down the line, and he's got his roll, and he's got his food, and then he comes up to her, and she says, mashed potatoes, and he says, I think you're beautiful. And then he just turns and walks away. that was the entire encounter. It was glorious to get to be there and hear him. I think you're beautiful. I didn't know. And that was his only interaction with her ever. You share the gospel like that? Jesus loves you. I'm out. That's all I know what to say. Listen, there's hope for anybody who wants to share this good news, who wants to join angels and shepherds and telling people about Christ. First of all, I'll give it another plug. Go along on a mission trip. Once you've shared the gospel over and over again in a culture that's not your own, it's really easy to come back and share the gospel with people. So go on one of our trips. However, there's help here. The gospel is specifically presented here in chapter 2. So what is the gospel, the good news? What is it in a really short form that you could share with pretty much anyone? What is that gospel? What is the good news? Chapter 2, verse 11. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This is the gospel. Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. There is one scripture verse that I use over and over again as I share the gospel with people, and you should use over and over again as you share the gospel with people. It is Romans chapter 10, verse 9, where Paul says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. What do you need to know for salvation? What must we do? What must we believe? Those who are saved are the ones who confess with their mouth, Jesus is Lord. That is exactly what the angels do. They say, He is the Lord. We Christians, we are the ones who proclaim Jesus Christ is Lord. He really did come. He really did walk the earth. He really did die on the cross. And most of all, He really did rise again. Because the second part is, if you profess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. We believe He was raised and we will be too. The center of the gospel for sharing it this Christmas season with your family, with your neighbors, with those crazy cousins you might have is this. He is the Messiah, the Lord. Share this verse. Go and share this one everywhere. He is the Messiah. He is the Lord. What's this business that the angels say? Peace on earth to those on whom His favor rests. Who's the ones on whom His favor rests? It's whoever will receive it. Who will receive this gospel today that Jesus Christ is Lord? As many as receive it today, let his peace rest among you and rest upon you. There is such peace and such joy in knowing that Jesus Christ is Lord, so it's going to be okay. Take a look at this gospel for comparison's sake. Here's what happens. It's really brief and short here. It's incredible. Verse 7. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in the manger because there was no guest room available for them in the inn. What a short proclamation of a wonderful truth. And what Christ is this that we're talking about? Allow me to read to you another picture of our Jesus Christ from Revelation chapter 4. This is our Lord. This is the same one, the same God, Jesus Christ, who came and took on flesh, who was simply born in a verse, wrapped in cloths, whatever was around, and laying in a manger. That's one picture of our Christ in his humility. Listen to this one. John says in the Revelation in chapter 4, "After this I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I heard at first, speaking to me like a trumpet, said, 'Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this.' At once I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and ruby. A rainbow that shone like an emerald encircled the throne. Surrounding the throne, there were 24 other thrones, and seated on each of them was one of the 24 elders. And they were dressed in white, and they had crowns of gold on their head. And from the throne came flashes of lightning, rumbling and peals of thunder. In front of the throne, seven lamps were blazing. These are the seven spirits of God. Also in front of the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. In the center around the throne were four living creatures, and they were covered in eyes in front and in back. And the first living creature was like a lion, the second like an ox, the third had a face of a man, and the fourth like a flying eagle. Each one of the four living creatures had six wings, and they were covered with eyes all around, even under its wings. And day and night they never stopped saying, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and who is to come.' And whenever the living creatures gave glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders, they all fell down before him who is sitting on the throne, and they worshiped him who lives forever and ever. And they laid down their crowns before the throne, and they said, 'You are worthy, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created, and they have their being.'" Let's go back here real quick. "And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available." Such is the glory of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Jesus Christ, our Lord, who has this wild, crazy, dangerous, scary, frightening, beautiful throne. And what he did in coming down to earth to die for our sins was simply to take off, Scripture says in Philippians chapter 2, to set aside all of the glory and to stoop, to set aside all of his glory and to take on flesh. It's like a king taking off the kingly vestments and putting on a mechanic's jumpsuit. Christ came and got his hands dirty in salvation. He came and he bore the weight of the wrath of God for all of our sins. This is the gospel that is proclaimed at Christmas. This is our Christ. Last thing you see in this passage is that it is a proclamation of peace. You kind of got to wonder, these shepherds even, Joseph and Mary even, all of the people here at the time when Christ comes, they are besieged. They're at war. In fact, the area they live in, yes, still at war, still besieged. This war, it goes on and on. It doesn't end. How many of you are tired of the wars that we're fighting? We are tired of the wars that we have to fight and are a part of as a country and as a nation. Why does it go on? How about another Western for you as an illustration? Shared last week about True Grit. Listen, I like Westerns, and if you live in America anywhere, Western is the right genre for you to be reading, so go pick up a Western or a movie. How about for this week? No Country for Old Men. Cormac McCarthy novels are scary and dark, and they're too dark for me, but the movie No Country for Old Men I thought was excellent, and the book as well. It is essentially about a sheriff, an old guy, who gets caught up in the middle of some really big, dark things as there's cartel activity in his small town, and he traces and he follows the steps of this. And after seeing all the aftermath of these battles and these cartel border wars, he retires. The end of the book, just scared and tired of the war and tired of fighting it. And he has a dream. The whole purpose, the entire story, the purpose of the movie, he has this dream at the end of his grandfather, who was an old sheriff too. He dreamed that his grandfather was still going, that he was scared and he was dark in a mountain pass trying to make way and just couldn't and had no light to move forward. But he saw his old grandfather still carrying a little torch going on ahead of him through the pass, still standing up for what was right, even though it's dark and hard in the world all along. We live in a world where people choose to do evil. We live amongst evil men and evil people, not just in that part of the world, but in every part of the world. In any part of the world are people who hear the gospel and choose evil rather than righteousness. And we know good and well that we must not stop fighting for peace. We are believers who must always be people of peace, agents of peace in the world. But we also know we will not have our peace in its completion until Christ returns. But when He returns, He will put away all evil and all sin. Amen. Then we will be done with it forever. Amen. One of my favorite proclamations about peace, this is our statement of faith, the Baptist Faith and Message 2000. You can read this. It's on our website. This is what we hold as Baptists as a confession of faith. And here's what we say about war and peace. We say it is the duty of Christians to seek peace with all men on principles of righteousness. In accordance with the Spirit and the teachings of Christ, they should do all in their power to put an end to war. The true remedy for war spirit is the gospel of our Lord. The supreme need of the word, the supreme need of the world is accepting His teachings in all the affairs of men and in all nations, and practical applications of His law and love. Christian people throughout the world should pray for the reign of the Prince of Peace to come soon. Let us pray. Father God, come soon. Just as startled as the shepherds were at the announcement of the angels that the Christ child had been born, so we would love to be here, startled at your proclamation when you yourself return to make all things right. Father God, until then, I thank you for the peace that you've given us in knowing that we can trust you. And I pray that we would, like these shepherds, proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord to everyone around us. Father God, I pray that you would bless these people and these families in this Christmas season. I pray that you would bless them with opportunities to proclaim your name. I pray that you would bless them with peace and mercy, that you would bless them with health and rest and in all ways so that we could worship you rightly. And this I pray in your name. Amen.